It's sure good to see you tonight. As we were singing just those words, I was reminded of the words of the psalmist. By the Holy Spirit, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold the wondrous things out of thy law. And of course, you know, apart from that work being done by the Holy Spirit, it will not be done. Because you and I, apart from the Lord Jesus living inside of us, in all of his resurrection life and power, we can't do that. We just can't. Well, it's good to see. It's kind of hard to believe that it's Thursday already. Sure makes you think of what the Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. When I was coming up as a boy some few years ago, they used to say, here today and gone tomorrow. But they've changed that now. Here today and gone today. And that shouldn't make us want to put our head in the sand like the proverbial ostrich. But it ought to have its effect on us, wanting to get out of life what God intended for us to. Look, if you have your Bibles tonight, let's open them up to an Old Testament portion, 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. And while you're turning to the same, I wonder who got a question. Now, don't look real funny, I know. I just simply ask if you have a question. You don't have to be a member of this congregation, just a member of the human race. You may want to ask a question, personal or scripture. You can feel free at this time, and I won't wait forever and a day. Now, you can't offend me, and if I did get offended, I couldn't turn red, so shoot. I'll see. I'll wait a moment. Two. Or no question. Okay. Well, we just want to give you a chance. We do it in schools and prisons, and this is a lot better than that. Especially prisons. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 1. And the sons of the prophet said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there, where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. And as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water, and he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. The man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore said he, take it up to thee. And he put out his hand and took it. Let's pray. Father, thanks again for preserving the Bible to this our day. But most of all, we thank you for the Lord Jesus, who is the living Word. And we thank you, Lord, that it's no mere religious saying. It's true that nobody can satisfy like you. And it really doesn't make any difference what they say. Men in whatever kind of places, we know that none can perform like you. And it's a real delight to come to a place like this, to sing unto you, to speak to you, and then, Lord, to be with the spirit of expectancy, knowing you're going to speak to us. Now, we're not asking you to help our unbelief or even to help us, Lord, but just give us to lovingly respond to you. Delivered us from ourselves and from the fear of man, and so much so that whatever you want to be to us, you can, and whatever you want to do through us, you'll be free to do that. And that way, breathing on the planet will be worthwhile. You'll get the glory, and we'll have a ball. We give you our thanks for this, our time together, in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. In most of our reference Bibles, this particular portion is referred to as Elisha recovers the lost axe. But I like to think of it as the cutting edge. Lost and restored. Or our effectiveness. And let me say at the very outset, I trust you're not one of those who doesn't bother to read the Old Testament. I hope you're not one of those who says, you know, well, the Old Testament is so dry and I don't get anything from it. Let me simply remind you of a wonderful verse in the New Testament, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Or you have the Lord Jesus himself speaking in John's Gospel, chapter 5. He was talking to what we many times referred to as religious nitpickers. Fellows who were religious, found fault with everything, professed to know all so much, and yet they didn't know him. You know what he said to those folks? 5:39, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. But you will not come to me that you might have life eternal. And then, of course, there's that wonderful portion in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24 and verse 27, where we read, you remember it was the two disciples and how they were, you know, just, they looked real sad because they were sad. Their hearts were filled with unbelief. And, of course, when Jesus himself drew near, their eyes were whole and they didn't know who he was. He speaks with them, and in that verse 27, is it not, of that chapter, it says he begins that Moses and all of the prophets, and he expound unto them in all of the scriptures the things concerning himself. And if I learn nothing else from that, you know what I learned? I learned that the New Testament is in the old concealed, and the old is in the new revealed. And together, it's the Bible, 66 books, the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And as one has already said, and we do well to repeat it, it's God's love letter to us, the Word. And friend, it doesn't make any difference what they come up with out of institutions of higher learning. And don't you misunderstand me when I say that. I don't knock education. I'm just simply a firm believer that education in itself will never get the job done. Because education without salvation leaves a person totally inadequate to live a life that will bring glory and honor to God. And you see what many men in high places are doing with all kind of education, and some of them have not Christ. And they really think they can do it. They'll never do it, whether in our country or any other country. And the reason for that is because, see, there will be no peace until Jesus Christ has his rightful place on the throne of hearts. And he's the one who made peace by the blood of his cross. If you're here tonight and you're just filled with turmoil, I got some good news for you. You can have peace with God. But you won't have that peace sitting, soaking, souring in a church house. You won't have that peace by being religious, but that peace can be yours by simple faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord of life and glory, who died for our sins according to the Scriptures, who was buried, and who arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That, my friend, is the gospel. And that's the message that must be proclaimed. That's the person that must be believed in order for the person, and all of us were born sinners, and so in order for the person who was born a sinner to be born again, or to become a member of the family of God. Or as they say it this way, in order to become an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus, to have peace, you must put your trust in Jesus Christ. Now you can go to church all you want to. You can learn the Bible backwards if it's possible, but after you get to doing all of that, the only way to please the Lord is to believe him. And the Word says it very, very clear, without faith it is impossible to please God. I was sort of concerned, or moved to just simply share with you this Old Testament incident tonight. Because may I say it this way, that if you're not as effective now as you were when you first became a Christian, then what you really need, and I, is to be revived. And revival isn't a group of meetings that you go to. Revival is simply the turning of the hearts of God's people back to himself. You get it so clearly in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 36, where the man of God is praying, rather verse 37, Elijah is his name. And as he prays, there are 63 words, he hardly repeats himself, and he closes his prayer by saying that they may know that thou hast turned their heart back again. And he was speaking about God's people Israel, who were seemingly satisfied, you know, with the status quo. Ahab, that ungodly monarch with his wife Jezebel, were just doing their thing, and the people of God, you know, many of them were just going along with the program, and they needed to be revived. And God, who has never left himself without a witness, had a person in the person of Elijah who simply challenges all of Israel, all of the prophets of Baal, and all of the prophets that sat at the grove at Jezebel's table with that one question that day, how long halt you between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, follow him. And the people didn't have a word to say. When you read the chapter, you see how that it was Elijah, you know, who says there ought to be two bullets given, one for you, one for me. You call on the name of your gods, I'll call on the name of the Lord. And the gods that answered it by fire, let him be God. And friend, that's the challenge that each one of us who are born again ought to have, so to speak, for the people out there who are pressing and pounding a place on the broad road which leads to destruction. And why? Because you see, there are many people who really want to know, this Jesus that you talk about, this God that you pray to, this person you keep talking about, the Holy Spirit, I mean, is he really able to produce? Can he do the job? Same question that came from the lips of an ungodly king in Daniel's day. You remember when Daniel was thrown into the den? You remember how the king comes to the den early the next morning? Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest able? And man, I can just imagine his heart probably skipped a beat when the next voice he heard was the voice of Daniel. There's only one answer to that. It's affirmative. But friend, you know what it takes on your part and mine? Just simply believe in God. Now here the Spirit of God is caused to be preserved to this our day, this incident. This is not a fairy tale. This actually happened. These were the sons of the prophet. They come to the man who takes, as it were, Elijah's place, Elisha. And they come, the sons of the prophet, and they said to Elisha, look, the place where we dwell with you is too straight. In other words, it's too confining. And you know what people think? And they say that too, some of them. They said, this Christianity stuff, you know, money, you know, no, no. And you know, they find all kinds of excuses because they think it's all right for an hour on Sunday. Let me share something with you, friend. I don't mind being bold when I travel back and forth across the country because, you see, I wasn't born a Christian the first time. I know what it is to be lost, and I know what it is to be a wild, wretched sinner. Now, maybe we all haven't stooped to do some of the same things, but all of us were bad enough to go to hell. Everybody in this place that's born again was bad enough to go to hell. You know why? The only kind of people that get saved are people who are convinced by the Spirit of the living God that they're lost. And everybody was born lost. And how do we come here lost? It wasn't what mom did or dad did, grandmother, grandfather. The Bible makes it very clear. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Even so, by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Who was that one man that was disobedient and in whom we were made sinners? Adam. He just simply disobeyed God. He's the federal head of the human race. And when he disobeyed God, sin did his thing, chose to go his way, he pulled down the whole human race. That's the reason that the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus and to every creature of Adam's race, except a man be born again. And friend, let me say it very clear, that's not religion. That's not religion at all. That's a relationship. John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 11 and 12. He came unto his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And that's what people need. You see, you're not talking about ready to die. You haven't started living until you come to Calvary and respond to the Christ, because that's where life begins. We sing a song. In all probability, many times you sang it here and other places, at the cross, when I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith. I received my sight. And now I'm happy all the day. And don't you look for things to get better in this world. I'm not a prophet nor a prophet's son. And I don't believe in speaking about doomsday. But friend, don't you look for things to get better in the United States or any other place in the world. Understand me? It's not going to get any better. When you see a worm-eating apple get better of its own accord, and when you see an Ethiopian change his color, then the world might get better. And that's impossible. The Bible makes it very clear as it asks the question, can an Ethiopian change his skin or the leper his spots? Then may ye do good who are accustomed to do evil. The Word of God makes it very clear as touching the world system. It says the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And friend, as a Christian, let me say this, don't apologize for being a Christian. I want to say that again. Don't apologize for being a Christian. Maybe you don't know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Maybe you're a young believer, or maybe you're a believer and you're not in the Word, but don't apologize for being a Christian. You see, because as a Christian, you are not on the winning side. You don't decide that it's already one. You have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Perhaps you've sang with some Christians that song, I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And see, you don't make any apologies, you know. I used to be a timid Christian, and, you know, folks would laugh, and man, I'd clam up, just wouldn't say a word, hide my light under the bushel. The only one who knew I was a Christian was the Lord, but friend, I'm not ashamed anymore. And I don't worry about, you know, we go to some schools, don't get in as many now as we used to, and go to some prison. Maybe some guys will be sitting back there sneering. Maybe they'll laugh. And when they laugh, I just laugh with them, and they soon forget what they're laughing at, you know. No, I don't make any apologies for being a Christian, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. See, friend, I believe what this book says now. I didn't always believe it. But I'm convinced that the Christ of the Bible is living on the inside. There's a whole lot of things in the book I don't understand. There's a whole lot of things in the world I don't understand. But there are some things I know. I know that God loves us. I know that He's designed the very best for us. And like the Bible says, that's exactly the way it is and was. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. And He died suffering once for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And today He lives in the power of an endless life. And how can I miss as a Christian? The only way I can miss as a Christian is to put my hand on it. Put my 2-cent words to it. Ignore what He says and put in its place what I think or what I say. That's the only way we miss. And surely we all get tired of blowing it like that, or goofing like that, because that's all we're capable of doing is goofing. And all He's capable of doing is good. And these fellows said to Elisha, the place where we dwell with you is just too confining. Let us go. And may I say this, friend? God never forces. And all of His people, controlled by His Spirit, anointed by His Spirit, male or female, they don't force. And so Elisha, upon whom the Spirit of God had come upon, Elisha says, you know, you just go. But they weren't content to go by themselves. He asked the servant of the Lord, would he go with them? And he answered, I would go. And then the Spirit of God lets us know they come to the Jordan. Now in slavery days, especially my people, the Jordan is the, you know, the chilly waters of death, and when you end it all and you end up on the other side. But Jordan in the Word of God, not according to tradition, but Jordan is touching the scriptures, is death to the old man. If you want to really check it out, read your Bible in Joshua chapter 3. You remember in Joshua chapter 3 how the priests stepped down in the Jordan, and when they stepped down, the waters quit coming down, and they heaped up in a city called Zeraton or Adam, and how did the children of Israel, when the priests were there with the ark, the children of Israel just all went down, not sloshing through on muddy ground, but they all went through the Jordan. That's death to the old man. And may I say, friend, there again, you got the message of the cross. Because it was on the cross of Calvary that not only Jesus made an atonement for your sins and mine, He died to sin. And because of our union with the Lord Jesus Christ, we too died to sin. And you know one of the problems I see as I'm traveling? I'm meeting Christian after Christian who's trying to figure that out. You'll never get that figured out. Believe it. You can't figure out salvation. We can't figure out how God, holy and righteous, could love us, wretched sinners, as He did. And He could allow people to do what they did to His Son, what should have been done to us. We can't figure that out. How do we get in? By just simply believing that. And you know, friend, as you continue on, how do you really please God? By just simply continuing to believe Him. The Jordan is death to the old man. The Bible says it this way in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin, that we might be made ineffective, that we no longer be slaves to sin. You don't have to be defeated as a Christian. When the Lord Jesus says, I'm come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly, He wasn't talking about on the other side. He's talking about right here and now. And the thing is, there's so many, many times you and I try to live that life and we just can't do it. That life is lived by none other than the risen Christ who inside of us is dwelling in all of his resurrection life and power. And I don't mind quoting that verse many times. I've learned it, didn't know what it meant for years, but I believe it today and it's the reality. I am crucified with Christ. And every child of God can say that. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, and in this body, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What is it that causes us to start enjoying that kind of life? The same simple faith that gets us to start in the beginning. And so they come to the Jordan, and what happens? They're felling trees. And according to the contents, they were felling trees, not with those great big rib saws, but they were felling trees, they were felling them with axes. And the Bible says, and as they were felling a tree, you know what happened is one was cutting a beam. The axe head fell off. And this is almost causes a chuckle. That young man, when his axe head fell off into the water, he recognized it. But friend, do you know something? There are people who are Christians that are no ifs and ands about it, but who have been swinging for years, and they don't even know the cutting edge is gone. I want to say that again. I said there are some people who have been Christians for years, and they have been swinging for years. They don't even know the axe head, the cutting edge, is gone. And he said, look, brother, I've been doing this for 30 years. No chips. Nothing is happening. No effectiveness. And you know what that is? It's not serious. That's just going through the motions. That's a waste. They're doing it. But the beautiful thing, this young man, right away, he discovered the axe head. The effectiveness was gone. And he saw when it fell off, and he saw where it fell. And he cried to the man of God. And the man of God just simply asked him a question. Where fell it? And I can just see the young man standing there on the bank, and he points it out to the man of God. And you know what the man of God does? He just cuts down a stick, and he has to get that from a tree. And you know what that stick, that tree suggested he got that stick from? The cross. You never get away from the cross as such. That's where it all happened. No wonder the writer says, O cross of Christ, O glorious tree, what place can be compared with thee? Where God's own Son was crucified and for our sins a ransom died. Friend, that's where it all happened at the place called Calvary. Not only was an atonement made for your sins and mine, but on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus glorified God. You remember in John 17 when he prayed and how he says, I've finished the work of glorified thee. You remember in the Old Testament, I know some of you have studied about the tabernacle, and you remember in the Old Testament there, we read about the tabernacle, and there were 10 curtains of fine twine linen. They were 4 cubits wide and 28 cubits long. But they were covered over with 11 curtains of goat's hair that were 4 cubits wide and 30 cubits long. And the goat's hair speak to us of the sacrificial and atoning work of Jesus Christ on Calvary's cross. It didn't just cover. It more than covered. It glorified God. That's what the work did. And had no creature of Adam's race ever trusted in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lord God was glorified with the work that his Son accomplished on the cross. He was there. And people today are looking for some sort of shot in the arm. Something to buoy them up. And we have someone, not something, we have someone inside of us who's actually doing the living. We were saying tonight at the dinner table, but just about this matter, you know, God saved me. I didn't go to school. I don't glory in that. I didn't go to school, didn't finish high school, but the Lord saved me and he gave me the ability to speak. He does things with my mind. He's given me a copy of his word and he's convinced me by his spirit. By the constant frustration that I had in years past of trying to do it myself, that if I let him do it, I'll have a ball. And I was sharing tonight that if I wanted to be a millionaire, it would be no problem. And you know why I know that at work? And nothing wrong with being a millionaire. And I just don't want that. I just don't have time for that. But nothing wrong with that. But you know what? You know why I know it at work? Because all you'd have to do is to take a little bit of truth and a great big lie and put a price tag on it. And man will believe man before he believes God. He'll believe a lie before he believes the truth. Now that is normal. That's natural. But what we're talking about is not natural. It's spiritual. And what we're presenting is not of man, it's of God. It's the truth. T-R-U-T-H. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. T-R-U-T-H. The real union to him. And I'm not trying to scare you when I say this. You see, as you sit on that form, if you're not ready to quit breathing now, you're just simply saying that you haven't started living. That's all. If you're not ready to quit breathing any moment of the day or night, then you're just simply saying that you haven't started living. And life begins to cower. That's what it's all about. And so it isn't a matter of trying to scare people into the kingdom or trying to scare people into just totally committing themselves unto the Lord, because the Lord doesn't use those kind of tactics. And the Lord don't want us to fear him that way, to be afraid of him. He wants us to reverentially trust him. And all because we believe him and are convinced from his word that he has designed the very best for us. And so the man of God takes a stick, and what does he do? The stick is that. The cross is that performs a miracle in you and in I. And he throws that stick into the water. And don't ask me. Don't explain it away. Don't even look at it logically. The word of God says, and the iron did swim. Now, you either believe it or you don't believe it. If you spend time trying to figure it out, you know what the first thing you do? You'll be doubting. And when doubt is in, faith is out. And when faith is in, doubt is out. Don't ask me how the iron swim. The Bible says the iron swim. I believe that. Like I heard you heard me say that to the lady who asked about Jonah, if the Bible said he swallowed the fish, I believe that. If the Bible said it, I ain't no problem doing that. I don't have no problem believing the papers when they say they got a sale down at such and such a store. And every Tuesday the sales come out in our papers, especially for the groceries. And then I've always, even before the inflation, I'm always looking for sales. It goes along with my Scotch blood. And because I believe what the paper says, man, you'll find me at that store looking for those things on sale. Now, I don't have no problem believing what's in the paper. You know, when it comes to sales, now I have a problem believing some of that other stuff. Really believing some of that other stuff, because you see, I know what's happening in our world. All of that comes under the heading of this world system, and they just give you what they want you to hear. That's all. So they can be really telling it like it is. I ain't worrying about that, because that's all of the world, and I don't get all bent out of shape, you know, because the guy lies. I mean, I don't expect him to do anything right. Because he doesn't have right in him. So don't get all bent out of shape. And when the next time you hear of some big scandal, whether it's in Washington, whether it's out of Harrisburg, you remember this. You didn't send any angels to Congress. You know, people just get all shook up and say, oh, well, he should have known better. Well, let me tell you, friend, the people aren't going to do right until the Lord Jesus is on the inside. And it's not just enough for him to be on the inside. He must be in control. And so the iron swims, but it still isn't the man's. What is it? It's dead in the water. And if I've lost my effectiveness, it's nothing wrong, but then just the same way I lost it, that's where I have to go back to get it. And it's right here that I think of that button-up sweater. You know the kind they call that has, it looks like there's 100 buttons on it and 100 buttonholes. Well, if you start with the bottom button to the next to the bottom hole, it don't make any difference how well you button that thing up. When you get up to the top, you're still off. And what have you got to do? You got to go where you got off. And does not the Bible say to you and I who are Christians in 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9 that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all our... It didn't say pray for forgiveness. Oh, Lord, forgive. It didn't say pray for forgiveness. It says confess your sins. The Bible says that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh him shall have mercy. In other words, name the thing. Lord, I did such and such a thing, or I didn't do such and such a thing. And then he's faithful and just, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. And then it isn't a matter of rededicating or re-yielding yourself to the Lord. You've yielded yourself to the Lord. And when we keep on talking about reading, well, we're really saying it didn't take the first time, and we don't think God was serious and took us over the first time. It's just simply a matter of believing the Word. He restores us, and you just keep on abiding or dwelling or living in the Lord, as we read in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 24. God says there, "And he that keepeth his commandment dwelleth in him." Or what the Lord Jesus was speaking about in John's Gospel chapter 15, especially the first 8 verses, as he speaks about us abiding or living in him. There's much more to this than heaven, you know, and the sweet by and by. There's a life to be enjoyed here. There's a wonderful Christ and all of his resurrection life and power to be experienced right now. And when I talk about experience, I'm not speaking about some kind of feeling, because our feelings are like the weather, subject to change. And so there is the adhead swimming there, floating as it were. But it belonged to the man who was felling the beam, but he still doesn't have it. What did he have to do? He had to exercise simple faith and just reach out and take it to himself again. And friend, do you not know that everything that we get from the Lord God is by faith? I was making out a new prayer list. I believe in lists. I believe in putting people's names down. Pray for them either long as I live or until they quit breathing. And when they quit breathing, I just scratch a line across their name, through the name. No need of praying for them anymore. And I was making out a list, and there were some things I was saying on the list, you know, some things I say to the Lord. And I don't try to be legalistic with it. I just need a list, because I just can't hold all that stuff up in my head. And I said, "Lord, give me not only to appreciate you, but Lord, give me to appropriate." Or in other words, "Lord, just give me to simply believe that you have already given that to me, and then me to claim it or draw upon it." To not only appreciate, oh, to be feel good and to be grateful for what God has done and for what he's given to us, but just also to appropriate him. And I do that in the light of what we read there way back in the book of Joshua, where the Lord God said to Moses, "In every place whereon the sole of your foot shall tread, that's yours." And the Bible tells me that Christ of God is made unto me wisdom. So if I'm dumb, that's simply because I'm not drawing on him, see. It isn't because I don't know about what these men say. It's simply because I'm not drawing on him who is my wisdom. If I'm short patience, it's simply because I'm not drawing on him who is my patience. And I don't have to pray, "Oh Lord, give me the victory." When the Word says, "This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." So I should be experiencing victory. Now that doesn't mean that there won't ever be any problems in your life. That doesn't mean that there'll never be any pressures and there'll never be any pain. Ah, but friend, look at it this way. The Lord is the one who guarantees his presence. He says, "I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee." I either believe that or I don't. Now if it's just theory, that's where I miss it. But the Lord wants that to be a reality with us. And of course, you know what I'm going. And I'm not going to get my comb, I'm going to get my straw. Oh, let me see, any straws tonight? Oh, there's, well, look at that, Cal, and there's another one. Well, praise the Lord. Now, you others, you still got a knife, you know, and who knows, you've got until the shop. Get you one. It'll really do something for you, you know. And for those of you who don't know what that is, that's no trick. That's what we're to be as Christians. Just like that straw, we're to be. Only one exception, the straw has no life. But like the straw, we're to be flexible, and like the straw, we're to be a channel lovingly abandoned to the Lord who's living inside of us. Now, I carry that. I carry it for more than one reason. One reason I carry it, because it's a good reminder to me. Instead of me saying like I used to, "Oh boy, I can't do this and I can't do that." Well, I can do all things through Christ who's in me, and man, he can do everything but fail. And he knows exactly what he wants to do, and my business is a letter. Then another reason I carry it is, see, because people often say, "Oh boy, you're just tremendous. I've never heard anybody like you," and all that stuff. And so I pull out the straw and ask them, "Have you ever drank pop or milkshake, do something like that?" And they say, "Yes." And I say, "I can just see you now. When you get through drinking, you say to the straw, 'Oh, you beautiful thing. I just love the way you just deliver the goods.'" And I get so tired of hearing that. I went to a meeting one night, and I heard my name so much, I said to the brethren, it happened to be a Christian businessman's meeting, I said, "If you fellas would say Jesus Christ as much as you say Sam Dalton, you'd be on fire. He's the one. None of us are capable of doing anything good. moms and dads and young people, grandmothers and grandfathers. We can't do anything good if it's good as God. So get you a straw. Put it in your purse. Put it in your pocket. And it'll be a reminder. Just do it. I carry them. Extra ones in my suitcase, man. And you know, of course, see, the devil speaks to you. I'll tell you how he does. People come up to you and you know the Lord has spoken and you begin to listen to that and then you keep on listening to that and you pretty soon you begin to think, you know, maybe I am doing good. And it's not you, it's the Lord. Praise him. I heard a brother say this morning, one dear lady went up to a man and she was just telling how good it was and he just said, praise the Lord. And she said, praise the Lord. She said, it wasn't that good. You know. But friend, it does something because all the glory goes to the Lord. And you know, too much we've given the glory to vessels of clay. If it's good, it's God. James tells us that every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. All of it's the Lord, and give him the praise. The man just reaches out there and he takes it. It's by faith. And faith is that pleases God. And how does faith come? You can go to all kinds of prayer meetings, and that will never manufacture or create faith. You can go to all kinds of meetings. I was glad to hear this sister as I was set there just for a few moments this morning in the ladies' Bible study. Friend, you can hear all kinds of sermons, and that won't create faith. And there's a lot of people who are hearing, but you got to do more than just hear sermons. Some people can stay in church for years. That's where the reading of the Word comes in and the studying of the Word comes in and the memorizing and the meditating upon the Word comes in. And faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Not just the hearing of it, but it is the Word of God. That's what produces faith. And the man reaches out and he takes it to him again. That's the way we please God, by just simply believing him. We want to go out and do something real big. And that's the normal, natural thing. The people came to the Lord Jesus Christ in their day, and they said, what shall we do that we might work the works of eternal life? And you know what the Lord Jesus said to those people? He said, this is the work of life eternal, that you just simply believe. I can almost hear him say, is that all? Is that all? That's enough. And he says, he that believeth on me is the scripture that said. And he doesn't need our help. Who did the Lord check with in town before he dropped the rain on the area? He didn't ask us about our God and just in his sovereign and his goodness. And isn't it beautiful how the Lord can do more in a matter of minutes than mankind can in a lifetime? Look how he just dropped that gentle rain and it goes down to the roots of those newly planted gardens and causes the hay and all to... Only God could do that. But he didn't check with us. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. And we need to constantly be reminded of that. And we will as we're in the Word. And we will as we keep our eyes on him, the Lord Jesus, who is to be in all things, number one, to have first place. And as we keep our eyes on him, we'll ever be reminded that it's not us and the Lord, it's the Lord, period. Because we're dead and our life is hid with Christ in God. The Lord says way back there in 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, them that honor me, I will honor, and them that despise me, I will lightly esteem. Let me ask you a question tonight. You sang it many, many times. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? It's that simple. I believe we'll be singing that song tonight. And as we sing, just simply as we stand in the presence of the Lord, why not just simply be honest? And if you're not, there's an altar that's open. And the altar is not to put you on the spot. The altar is not so that you might exercise your kneecaps. Because what we want is exactly what God wants, that you simply exercise your faith in the wonderful Christ who makes breathing on the planet worthwhile. As a Christian, are you really enjoying the Christian life? Or are you enduring the Christian life? Are you one of those who said, but this is the way I see it? Are you seeing it like God has said it? Are you bogged down and you're a slave and you're defeated? Because you don't have to be. Because when Jesus Christ died on the cross, remember, not just did he make an atonement for your sins and mine, he died to sin. And because we're in union with him, so we died. And he says, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, God, give us the courage to just simply lovingly respond to him on a moment-by-moment basis. as we sing this. And if there's any here, just do feel free to come. We'd like to talk to you and pray with you. Show you from the Word for His glory in His name.
That hymn is number 222. Number 222. And you have heard the invitation. The Lord is speaking to you. You come to the altar. We'd be happy to pray with you. Let's stand and sing.